वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम सिक्स्थ कैंटो चैप्टर थ्री चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड यमराज इंस्ट्रक्ट्स हिज मैसेंजर्स वर्स 16
इना गोभी मनसा शुभिर्वा हृदा गिरा वा सुब्रतो विचक्षते आत्मानाम अंतरिदि संतम आत्मानाम चक्षुर्यथैव चिरतस्य तथा परम यम वै नागोभिर्मनसु शुभिर्वा हृदा गिरा वा सुब्रतो विचक्षते आत्मानमन्तरिदि सन्तमात्मानम् चक्षुर्यथैव कृतस्य तथा परम्
ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन As the different limbs of the body cannot see the eyes, the living entities cannot see the Supreme Lord, who is situated as the super soul in everyone's heart. Not by the senses, by the mind, by the life air, by thoughts within the heart, or by the vibration of words can the living entities ascertain the real situation of the Supreme Lord. Although the different parts of the body do not have the power to see the eyes direct the movements of the body's different parts. There is a purport. The legs move forward because the eyes see what is in front of them. And the hand touches because the eyes see touchable entities. Similarly, every living being acts according to the direction of the super soul, who is situated within the heart. As the Lord Himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 15.15, Sarvasya Chaham Ridhi Sannivishto Mattah Smritir Jnanam Apohanam Cha. I am sitting in everyone's heart and giving directions for remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita it is stated, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridayasya Arjuna Tishtati. The Supreme Lord as the Super Soul is situated within the heart. The living entity cannot do anything without the sanction of the Super Soul. The Super Soul is acting at every moment, but the living entity cannot understand the form and activities of the Super Soul by manipulating his senses. The example of the eyes and the bodily limbs is very appropriate. If the limbs could see, they could walk forward without the help of the eyes. But that is impossible. Although one cannot see the super soul in one's heart through sensual activities, his direction is necessary. Hare Krishna. So, actually I was supposed to speak on another verse. This verse has come in front over here. And there is a mention about the super soul in this particular verse, that how he guides the living entity. So I will start with this, which was supposed to be the end of my lecture actually. It is the pastime from Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto, where Lord Krishna is assisting Arjuna in the battle. This is the end of the war and almost everything is being packed up. But through this pastime we can understand that how, as Srila Prabhupada mentions over here, one always needs the guidance of the super soul. Although he has his hands and legs, all other limbs of the body, but he should be guided by the super soul, Paramatma. So Arjuna, he is a wonderful devotee. He is very qualified, but the best quality he has is that he always takes shelter of the Lord. He always takes guidance of the Lord. Although he himself is a very powerful person. So, as the battle is over, we know the son of Dronacharya, Ashwatthama, what he does is he murders the five small children of the Pandavas and brings their head as a trophy to Duryodhan, thinking that my master will be very happy. But Duryodhan, although being a dur, in the sense bad, yet he says that this is wrong because he's a Kshatriya. He says, you should have not done this. So Ashwatthama, although born as a Brahmana, is called as a Dvijabandhu, and he is running away. But Arjuna becomes very angry after he comes to know, because he sees his wife crying. Five of her children are murdered, and so she keeps crying. And Arjuna, in his valor, his anger, he, as a Kshatriya, he speaks these words. He tells Draupadi that, you just wait. I will go now, and with my arrow, I will cut the head of that Brahmana. And he's saying Brahmana, but generally a Kshatriya is not supposed to kill a Brahman. Prabhupada writes in the purport, and also in the verse, it is the word used for him is Atatai, one who murders. So there is nothing wrong, even if he is a Brahmana. So he says, I will go and cut his head with my arrow and bring it back to you. And then what we'll do? Then we'll do the last rites of our five children. And after that, you stand on his head and take your bath. So he's bringing out his mood of Kshatriya anger. And that means he's actually going to do some action now. And then he, along with Krishna, and Krishna is also there. Krishna, as usual, becomes his chariot driver, and he starts riding full speed. And Arjuna is sitting behind with his bow and arrow. And Ashwatthama, understanding that these people are going to come and kill me, he starts running away. And as he's running, he's looking behind. And what does he see? It is like they have a faster car. They are coming in full speed. He understands that they are going to catch me now. And unfortunately, his horses are very tired. So Ashwatthama sees that death is inevitable for me right now. So immediately, to save himself, he releases the most dangerous weapon, that is the Brahmastra, which is supposed to be used at very special times. And Arjuna, he is just riding with Krishna, and now Arjun, he sees that there is lightning coming towards him. And Arjuna is confused as to what is this light which is coming. And he feels that now my life is in danger. I'm going to kill this person, but now my life is in danger. So immediately, he takes guidance of the Lord. Prabhupada is writing here that one should always be guided by the super soul. And he does not have the super soul only sitting inside, but standing outside also. So he is standing there and immediately takes shelter. And he cries out, Krishna Krishna Mahabhava Bhaktanam Abhayankaraha. My dear Lord Krishna, you are the one who frees your devotees from bhaya. So he cries out to Krishna. And not only that, some very surprising things happen. The same time as the Brahmastra is approaching to kill Arjuna, he can see the light, but he calls out to Krishna, and then he starts praying to Krishna, offering wonderful prayers. It is just like, you know, someone is standing with a gun and you have another person next to him, and instead of, you know, telling him to attack immediately, you start glorifying that person. So Arjuna starts glorifying Krishna and he says wonderful things. He says, Krishna, you are transcendental to these three material modes. You have transcendental knowledge, transcendental body. You are the supreme creator. Wonderful things. You execute the four regulative religions for good of the society. And you incarnate to remove, the last words he says, you incarnate just to remove the burden of your devotees and your friend. That is himself also. So, as he glorifies in this way, and then he asks Krishna, that what is this light coming towards me? So Prabhupada writes in the purport that anything that is presented before the Lord should be done after due presentation of respectful prayers. Now, whenever we come and present something, that is the etiquette. First offer some prayers and then present it. Same thing is stands for the devotees of the Lord also. Many times we approach senior devotees and just start, open up all our problems. And they are in a different mood. They are busy with preparing for their class, which is going to start within half an hour. And we come and we start presenting, I have so many problems, this, that. And then you get the hot sauce. And you have to run away. So here, the nice way shown by Arjuna, present by offering prayers. And then he questions, what is this light coming? And Krishna, he says that, my dear Arjuna, this light is actually the Brahmastra. And the person who has sent it, Ashwatthama, he does not know how to retract it. He is a fool. He knows only how to leave it. He does not know how to retract it. So to immediately counteract it, you send your Brahmastra. But that is like already one Brahmastra is enough to destroy the whole creation, and then sending another Brahmastra to counteract. So Arjuna, as guided by the Super Soul, sends another Brahmastra. The Brahmastra is very special. Actually, before sending the Brahmastra, one has to purify himself. He has to do Achman. Even Ashwatthama, on his horse, on his chariot, did his Achman, then sent his Brahmastra. So Arjuna touches water, purifies himself, and sends, chants mantra, and sends the Brahmastra. And Prabhupada writes in all these different purports the speciality of Brahmastra. He says how the Brahmastra is compared to the atomic energy, atomic bomb. Very powerful. Much more powerful than atomic bomb. So this Brahmastra sent by Arjun, and as the Brahmastra comes, and both the Brahmastras collide, what happens? There is a huge circle of fire created, almost like the sun. And it is so huge, so powerful, that it covers all the three worlds. And circles the whole, all the three worlds. And everyone in the upper planets, Bhur Bhuva Swaha, everyone is burning. They all feel the heat of the Brahmastra. And they're scorched, literally. Arjuna realizes that people everywhere are burning and they are not able to understand. They feel it is annihilation. It has already come. And annihilation is also called as Samvartaka. So Arjuna immediately retracts both the Brahmastras. And at that time he is saved. Of course, then it goes on that how he captures Ashwatthama, brings him back, and so on. And another incident, later on, here we see he is guided by the Paramatma. And in further verses, Prabhupada writes how everything is settled, Pandavas are happy, and now Krishna starts moving towards Dwarka. And as he is sitting on his chariot, about to leave for Dwarka, all of a sudden, there is all the other devotees standing, Kunti Devi standing. Uttara, she comes running towards Krishna. And shouting literally, and she calls out to the Lord, crying out that, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin, Deva Deva Jagatpati. My dear Lord, she's praying that, please help me. And what does she say? That, my dear Lord, Name Garbho Nipateyatam, one iron, that is the arrow, burning iron is coming towards me. And she understands that this same, which is actually the Brahmastra, once again, is coming to destroy her embryo, her garbha. And as a mother, she is willing to sacrifice. She tells Krishna that, my dear Lord, if you want, let me get burnt, but please don't allow my embryo to die. Don't let the child in my womb die. And she prays to the Lord. So here again we see that all her husbands are standing over there, all five of them. But she approaches immediately the Supreme Lord. She knows that he is the one who can help. Brahmastra is again approaching. And as Brahmastra approaching, as she cries out, all the Pandavas pick up their weapons. All five of them simultaneously take up their respective weapons. And Krishna, he takes up his weapon. As Uttara has approached, he takes up his Sudarshan Chakra. And he's standing over there. Uttara is standing there. Kunti is standing here. Brahmastra is coming. And they all are just standing. And then after some time, they see that the Brahmastra has not affected the child. Krishna is standing over there. And Kunti starts offering wonderful prayers. And Prabhupada writes about her. She says, Namasye Purusham Tvadyam Ishwaram Prakrite Param Alakshyam Sarva Bhutanam Antar Bahir Avastitam. The Lord is, so to speak, Prabhupada writes, is a mystery for the common man. It's quite amazing that how he's very mysterious. The devotee is praying, save me, and he's just standing outside. And Prabhupada writes that for Kunti herself, she experienced that Krishna was standing outside, yet he could save Parikshit inside. In the womb of Uttara was her child, Parikshit. And he was saved by Krishna, although Krishna was outside. And Prabhupada writes over here that actually Kunti herself was puzzled about whether Krishna is localized or he is all-pervasive. Is he all-pervasive or is he localized? Because he is standing outside, but at the same time he is saving inside. So she is also wondering that how the Lord is here. So actually Krishna, what did he do? He became very small, as the size of a thumb. And he entered inside the womb of Uttara. And it is said that he was very beautiful. Angushta matram, as small as the size of a thumb. And how was his bodily dress? It was lightning gold dress. He's black in color, golden helmet, golden earrings, and he had his gada, which was, he was going around the child, Parikshit, who was inside the womb, and he was going around him, circumambulating, and he had a gada, which was going around him, like a lightning star, and he was going around the child, and the child was inside the womb, and he was looking, who's this person? Going, circumambulating. Now actually, Krishna is the greatest. He can become bigger than the biggest. Whereas the living entity is so minute, he cannot. And if Krishna wants, he can become smaller than the smallest. Why did he become only thumb size? He could have become even smaller or invisible. But Prabhupada writes in the purport that Krishna, being very merciful, wanted to give his darshan to Parikshit Maharaj in the womb. Special darshan. Not Shayan darshan. He was awake. And he was taking the special darshan in the womb. And he was wondering, who is this wonderful person going around? And then as he was looking at him, wondering, he immediately disappeared. Prabhupada writes, that is the mercy of the Lord. If he wants, he can become greater than the greatest. Smaller and smaller. And if he wants, he can become medium size also. It's up to him. So like that, and why he was a circumambulating? He vanquished the radiation of the Brahmastra. Brahmastra is a very subtle weapon which works on mantra. Prabhupada writes in the purport that it is something like today's guided missiles. It can approach one particular person and destroy that particular person. So that was what Ashwatthama wanted to do. But then he was saved. And because they took shelter of the Supreme Lord, they were guided by the Super Soul. That's to suffice from this particular purport. But on the whole, we have been discussing so much about how the Yamadutas are in a frustrated mood, approaching Yamraj and complaining to him that how these Vishnu Dutas have come and stopped us from capturing Ajamil, who is a sinful man. Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, a response to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Just got it today morning from Braj Bihari Prabhu. A very wonderful letter which can be a beginning of understanding a relation between the guru and disciple. Tamal Krishna Maharaj wrote to Srila Prabhupada saying that he was glorifying all his god brothers in his letter. So Prabhupada wrote back to him, "Your appreciation for the service of your god brothers is very much laudable. This is actually a devotee's business, that everyone should appreciate the value of other devotees. Nobody should criticize anyone. Since everyone is engaged in the service of the Lord according to one's capacity, and the thing is that Krishna wants to see how much one is sincere in rendering him service. On a material platform, we may think that his service is greater than mine, or his is better. This is our material vision. Actually, on spiritual platform, the same service rendered by a calf to Krishna, that's a baby cow, and service rendered by Radharani and her associates to Krishna, there is no difference. Krishna is so kind and liberal that everyone's service is accepted by him when it is sincerely offered to him." So Srila Prabhupada writes, he's giving the mood of how one should appreciate all devotees, and it is not that one service is greater, lesser, and he's glorifying that how Tamal Krishna Maharaj is appreciating his god brothers. "Position of subordination should always be maintained. We should always give respect to our seniors, pure devotees who are engaged in devotional service. That will make us able to make progress faster in devotional line." So like that, Srila Prabhupada wrote this letter to Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. And this actually shows that how the devotees should behave with other devotees. Here we see, I've just put it a little allegorical. The Yamadutas are something like disciples. And Yamraj is something like the guru. He is their master. And the Vishnu Dutas, Yamraj is something like the HOD. And he has his assistants. Vishnu Dutas are also assistants, but to the main boss, Supreme Lord Krishna. And they are all serving. So Yamadutas, they go and they start complaining to Yamraj. And they are complaining that these people came and they did it. And as they complained, they chanted Narayan's name. And they said, "Tamaste veditum icchamo yadi no manyase kasham Narayani iti abhiyate mabhir iti ayurudrutam." And they are complaining, when we went to take these fellows, someone came. And as he chanted Narayan, he was saved. So Yamraj, like the teacher, the guru, because at least this fellow chanted Narayan's name. He is complaining, but at least he is chanting the holy name. So the teacher, the guru, becomes happy when he sees that the disciples are discussing about the Supreme Lord when they are chanting His holy name. Complaints can be done many, but more importance is to have discussion parasparam of the Supreme Lord. So they go on complaining, but about Narayan, he says that Smaran Padam Bhujam Harir. As they speak this word, Yamraj feels very happy because he is reminded of the Supreme Lord. And Yamdutas, as they speak this, Yamraj points out their mistake. And because that is his duty, he points out some fault in them. You know, yes, what did he say? He says that they are very advanced devotees. Don't become envious of them. As he is going to point out their faults, the Yamadutas, Prabhupada writes in earlier purports, they are looking at some faults in Yamraj. They are thinking that, you know, maybe he is not capable. He is not the supreme controller, or something is wrong over here. That is a tendency to see faults. Just trying to squeeze out something that we can learn from this particular episode. Seeing faults, there's a wonderful shloka which says, Doshan paresham hi guneshu sadavo grinanti kechinna bhavadarsho dvija gunamsha phalgun bahuli karishnavo. Sati tells Daksha that, my dear father Daksha, your attitude is to just see faults in others. Lord Shiva, what is his attitude? He does not see faults. And not only that, she says, Bahuli Krishnavo. Phalgu Bahuli Krishnavo. He says something, Phalgu, very small. Some small little good in someone, and he makes it big. He magnifies it. That is the quality of Lord Shiva. So she says that, you know, you, my dear father Daksha, is always seeing faults. So here Yamdutas are seeing faults and Yamaraj is also seeing faults. Both are seeing faults. Two things can happen. The guru may see faults in the disciple and he may correct them. And the disciple may also see fault in guru, but a little frightened to correct him. So the guru sees fault and he tries to rectify the disciple. What happens? Disciple will advance. He will correct if he is corrected. Why? Because it is the duty of the guru to see faults. But it is not the duty of the disciple to see faults, whether in the guru or senior devotees, whoever. So the disciple sees fault, but it is not his duty to do that. And that's why he may be in problem. We see that the guru, even if he actually finds faults and he punishes the disciple, and sometimes it may happen that the disciple may not be at fault, but still he is punished for something which he has not done. What will happen then? He will still progress in Krishna consciousness. Even if he has not done something wrong and he is punished for, he will not suffer, he will advance. That is the speciality of this particular relation. But a disciple cannot do that. I remember long back, one time, my relative was telling me that in our village there was a family, grandfather, they had the animal called as mongoose. It is a tamed animal, it can be tamed. But it becomes much more tame than a dog actually. So, grandfather had this mongoose and he was once going for a wedding with nice lungi, white kurta, and he was going, and this mongoose, he saw that, you know, my master is going. So he came running from all the muck and mud and water and immediately jumped on the grandfather. And of course, he wanted to express his love, but the wedding was spoiled. All his clothes were spoiled. So this is a very wonderful animal. I heard a story about this particular animal long back, that how a family, husband and wife, they have a mongoose in their house who's staying over there. And this particular mongoose there, they get a baby, and the baby is growing. They love the baby so much, they're always worried about the baby may be harmed by some animal, it may be disturbed by something, so they're always taking care of the baby. One time the husband goes out, and the wife, she's doing her household chores, and she goes to the well to fetch water. Baby is in the cradle. The mongoose is around over there. Suddenly one snake appears from the jungle. And the snake is going to attack this baby. And the mongoose sees this. And the mongoose, being a very faithful servant of his master, tries to protect this baby. And he starts fighting with this ferocious snake. And there is a long fight which takes place. Mongoose is also hurt. But somehow the mongoose kills the snake. And there is blood all over. And there is blood on the face of mongoose, on his body. But now he is very happy that he has saved the baby. And he wants to go and inform the wife. So he rushes to where she is fetching water near the well. And he approaches this lady. As he goes, when he's trying to express by standing over there with all the blood on his face, but she misunderstands. She feels that because she's always thinking about the child's protection, she feels the mongoose has killed the child. And out of anxiety and pain, she has this water filled in her bucket, and she just smashes it on the head of this mongoose and kills him. But when she goes back home, she finds that the child is very wonderfully laughing, smiling, and there is a dead snake down there. And she cries. The point is that although this mongoose, something like a disciple, was found to be doing something wrong, but he has not done anything wrong. He is glorified. He is punished for what he has not done. But yet, he is glorified. Similarly, if a disciple, he does something wrong and he is chastised and corrected and punished by his seniors, his guru, yet one should know that he will make advancement. He will be protected. So like that, Yamaraj corrects them. Yamaraj actually tells them that they are seniors. They are very advanced devotees. Do not be envious of them. That is Yamaraj's instruction to them. He says that Bhutani Vishnu Sura Pujitani. He says they are worshipable even by demigods. You fools. You should not be envious of them. When he says that, that means Yamaraj himself is one of the demigods. That means they are worshipable by me also. So what to speak of you? If the master is worshipping them, what should you do? So, because that is, Yamaraj shows himself to be a junior devotee compared to the Vishnu Dutas. And taking this position, he says, they are also worshipable by me. And here, when he says this, we can see that how a senior, a guru, teaches by example. Himself showing to be humble. When I am doing this, what to speak of you? When I am attending Mangal Arati, how much should you come? Like Prabhupada, he was one time speaking to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada, when should one retire in Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada said, one can retire when he has sufficiently preached. Maybe around 50 or so later on. He has done sufficient preaching. So, Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, oh really? And you can retire in Vrindavan? Said, yes. That is a good place. And Prabhupada, but what about you? Prabhupada said, I have not yet preached sufficiently. So, then he said, oh, when the master is not, then what to speak about me? How much I should do? So a guru teaches by his own example. And like that, Lord Krishna also says in says that mad bhakta puja abhidhika, my devotees are more worshipable than me, and I become happy when my devotees are actually worshipped. What to speak of becoming envious of them? In the Uddhava Gita, Krishna tells Uddhava that, my dear friend Uddhava, please do not become envious. One should not be envious of the Acharya, because he's as good as me. One should not be envious of devotees because they are very dear to me. And many times Prabhupada would say that many people were envious of me because I was preaching. Sometimes we have this tendency to feel that why he's preaching or advancing so much more than me. And envy arises in the heart. Prabhupada said that, he gave the example that, you know, they would not accept me because I am advancing so or preaching so much. Rather, they did not help me in preaching. He gave the example of judge. In the local village, boy becomes a judge, and the other men, they come and tell, you know, this boy from our village, he's become the judge now. It's not possible. How can that be? How can he become the judge? Oh, we are telling you, we saw him, he was sitting over there in the court. He has become the judge. He must be sitting over there, but he must not be getting his salary. So they don't want to be convinced. They want to give any appreciation. Prabhupada said, prana achayar sei hetu prachar. If you have life, then you will preach. Instead of becoming envious, one should preach. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he spoke a wonderful thing about this. He said that in Vrindavan, there are gopis, gopas, cows. They are all serving Krishna, all of them. The gopis, they are serving Krishna. But the gopas, they never think that, you know, these gopis, how much, why they are serving so much more? Why they are serving better than us? They don't think like that. Rather, they take inspiration from the gopis to serve Krishna more. Similarly, devotees, instead of becoming envious, they should take inspiration and try to serve, increase their service to the Supreme Lord more and more. What is the solution to this? This can be solved by hearing from the spiritual master regularly. One is to hear constantly. Yes, it is required to hear from the founder Acharya. Simultaneously, one should also hear from the present guru, because the guru is personally present over there to twist the ears, and he can detect all the subtle problems, diseases, all the latest diseases that are coming up, and he can cure them. That's why it is very much required to constantly hear from one's guru. And that will help one correct this particular problem. So, they have been corrected, but when there is correction, it is difficult to digest. Because the Yamadutas, whenever they approach to take someone, nobody has the capacity to retaliate. Nobody can actually, you know, correct them, or neither is anyone capable of doing any of this. For the first time, this has happened to them, and so they are very much shaken. It is something like we are being instructed and corrected for the first time. Generally, especially if one is a preacher, he's used to giving instructions. Do this, do that, do this, do that. But when all of a sudden he's instructed, he's corrected, then he's shaken a bit. Because he's always in the mode of instructing. But when he's instructed, then it's a problem to digest that particular instruction. And especially that is what the guru does. Outside, everyone is glorifying him. But when he comes in front of his seniors and guru, then immediately he becomes humble. And because he is humble, he can advance rapidly in Krishna consciousness. There is one wonderful conversation with Srila Prabhupada. He was in Vrindavan with devotees like Gurudas Prabhu, Hari Krish Prabhu, and they were discussing. And Prabhupada is actually correcting. We see that they are actually complaining to Prabhupada about other devotees. And Gurudas Prabhu says, Prabhupada, if there is a devotee who is not purified, how can he become your representative? How can he become the temple president? Because he is not purified completely. He is an authority, but he is not purified. So, and then similarly, Harikesh Prabhu, he also speaks up. He says, Prabhupada, sometimes we have the experience, someone in authority who is obviously not following your instructions. So Prabhupada immediately cuts him. Prabhupada says, that you not have to judge. And he says, and Prabhupada says, that is not that you have to judge. You should know that this man is appointed and he gets here by spiritual process. I must follow. You cannot judge him. Then Harikesh Prabhu, again he says, Prabhupada, then we simply wait for further instructions from you? I mean, if we don't tell him anything, should we just wait for instructions from him? Prabhupada said, no further instructions. Again, he's like, oh, what is this? And Prabhupada, so long he's the president, you must follow him. If he's wrong, that will be corrected by the spiritual master, not by you. So they say, okay, right, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, you cannot correct him. Otherwise, obedience is the first discipline. If you do not obey the representative authority, then there cannot be any discipline. Then everything will be topsy-turvy. Then Harikesh Prabhu again speaks out to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, you would rather have us follow the temple president, and he wants to say something else, but Prabhupada cuts him. Yes. And Prabhupada says, so the steps will be taken by the spiritual master. You cannot do. Do not try to rectify. Then Harikesh Prabhu inquires, but does that mean that if we follow that person, will our advancement remain the same? And Prabhupada says, yes, you follow. Evam parampara praptam. Gopi bhartur padakamaliyor das 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 anudas. Servant of the servant. Just keep following him. Your advancement will be the same. And then Harikesh Prabhu is little like, and more, then he says, yes, Prabhupada, I know, I'm making mistakes over there. And then Prabhupada becomes really heavy. He says, then why do you preach then? And Prabhupada says, then Harikesh says, that is my question. Prabhupada says, stop preaching. That's the solution. So Prabhupada says, if you know your mistakes, you are preaching, then why this nonsense preaching? So Harikesh Prabhu said, but Prabhupada, preaching must be perfect. And Prabhupada said, perfect means as you have heard from your spiritual master. We are not perfect. None of us are perfect. But if you perfectly follow the orders of the perfect, then you are perfect. So basically it means just follow what I am telling you. So here, this conversation, they both are actually complaining to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada actually smashes them, corrects them. That, do not find faults. Just follow the orders. And you will make advancement. You need not worry whether that person is right, because he is appointed in the right way. So many more things are to be spoken, and many wonderful points, but since time is short, we'll end over here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavat Puran ki jai.